This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
New fallout tonight from allegations of conflict of interest in the Justice Department investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election. Chief Intelligence Correspondent Catherine Herridge is here tonight with the latest details. Good evening, Catherine.
Well, thank you, Brett. A senior Justice Department official with an apparent conflict over Fusion GPS, the firm behind the Trump dossier, has been demoted for a second time. Bruce Orr is no longer head of the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force. He was stripped of his role as Associate Deputy Attorney General in December after Fox News reported Orr had meetings unknown to his superiors with the co-founder of Fusion GPS, former journalist Glenn Simpson, as well as former British spy Christopher Steele, who compiled the dossier research. It's not clear where Orr has landed, though he is still a Justice Department employee. Orr's wife, Nellie, is a Russia specialist who did research for the Trump Project, which was funded by the DNC and Clinton campaign. As division head for organized crime, Orr was also directly involved with an interagency investigation that tracked a drug and money laundering scheme to Iran. Critics say the investigation and potential prosecutions were derailed by the Obama administration, fearing it would upset Iran leading up to the 2015 nuclear deal, or is scheduled to testify to the House Intelligence Committee behind closed doors January 17th. Brett.
And Catherine, the House Committee is learning more about Fusion GPS's financials. Who got paid for the Russia work?
Well, that's right. Fox News is told TD Bank complied with the House subpoena within hours of the court's decision, making any appeal moot. At issue are 70 transactions that cover clients, two media companies, journalists, and researchers over a two-year period. After last week's deal with Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and FBI Director Christopher Wray, the committee also got access to the remaining FBI Russia documents during a classified session at the Justice Department. House investigators could take notes, but not hard copies. The documents were described to Fox News as core records about the dossier and its handling by the FBI, including witness interview summaries for confidential sources or informants known as 1023s. As events unfolded this weekend, President Trump said the evidence does not implicate his team.
I guess the collusion now is dead, because everyone found that after a year of study there's been absolutely no collusion. There's been no collusion between us and the Russians.
The House committee is scheduling another 10 interviews for later this month, including former FBI Director Comey's inner circle, as well as two Trump campaign aides.
Think that we'll ever get to the bottom of all this, or this just continues to be straight-armed and obstructed so that it becomes so old news, and then it goes into the Democratic playbook of, why are you bringing that up? You know, that was resolved years ago. We had all these different committee hearings, and we know about all that, so why bring that up? There's nothing to look at here anymore. Just let it go. I mean, all this leads to, ladies and gentlemen, is law and order. You know, are we a nation of laws or not? And I don't, you know, I don't care about whether or not it was happened 4 or 5 years ago or something has been adjudicated. If there's new information, then why should we not be persistent to find out the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but? And regardless of whether or not you are a Clinton or associated with the Clintons, because that seems to be the cover these days, that somebody is too big to jail. Regardless of whether or not somebody gets jailed, at the foundation of all this is, are we going to be a nation of rules or not? Do we get down to finding out really what happened with GPS? The Russian collusion, you heard the president say this thing for over a year, and all the money, what, seven, probably up to $8 million in counting, has continues to be expended here. And what do we know? Of course, you know, everybody would say you've got to let this go through its process. Well, you know, it just seems to be, as what the president suggested early on, nothing but a witch hunt. So we'll see. And then supposedly the president is in line to have a direct meeting with Robert Mueller, and we'll see how that plays out. The saga continues, and we'll keep you up to date right here on Bill Martinez Live, 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Hi, folks. Ronnie here from Life Change Tea. There's a lot of hubbub about the ramifications of GMOs. First of all, what are GMOs? Genetically modified organisms. Yee! Man-made organisms entering our body, changing and damaging us from the inside out. What's our defense? First of all, not eating them. Second, cleansing from them when we do eat them. Thank God for Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea cleanses from toxins, heavy metals, and helps flush GMOs out of your body. Our unique blend of herbs help cleanse you from the inside out, helping you feel refreshed and clean of yee. We also carry unique, one-of-a-kind supplements. So order online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Rid yourself of the yee that contaminates your food and water. Go to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Get the tea. Your best defense.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, you go to BillMartinezLive.com. It's all there. Hey, we'd love to hear from you. Drop me an email, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Let me know what is on your mind and what we're missing. If you think we're missing a topic that needs to be discussed, hey, look, we got experts. This is what this is all about. We bring the experts on. Get it out of opinion, because as we say, in the absence of fact, opinion rules. So as much as possible, we go after the experts to talk about the facts, Jack, as they would say. Dr. Paul Nathanson, to this end, joins us now. He's an intersexual dialogue academic. That is a mouthful. How do you get that on your business card?
Well, it was an accident, but never mind. My field is religious studies. I'm interested in political ideology such as feminism, mm-hmm. in the way that they function very much like religion.
Right. Well, I got to imagine, Dr. Nathanson, that the Golden Globes was quite a manifestation of the very things that you have been saying that is going on with misandry in our culture.
Yes, it was very ritualistic. In fact, it reminded me of a revival meeting.
and kind of amazing, too. I think I don't know of many revival meetings that try to claim some sort of higher moral ground. I may be missing something here, but these are the actual perpetrators of the very thing that they're supposedly hashtagging themselves over.
That's right.
I mean, what is all this about? The culture should go along because they're celebrities and they know better and they can just talk out of both sides of their mouths and it's okay.
Well, you know, one of the mantras that has arisen since October has been believe women. The idea is that we should all believe whatever women say, whether they have evidence or not. Mm-hmm. Now, apart from anything else, that undermines the legal system, because belief is something that, in my field, we associate with religion, mm-hmm. and the legal system is not based on belief. It's based on evidence, exactly. And argument.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a real... Well, there are many problems with that movement, but mm-hmm. Once you get the idea that people are to be believed, whatever they say, well, then you're dealing with what I call a secular religion.
Mm-hmm. Well, but this is what Saul Alinsky, this is what progressives, I know people hear this and they think, oh, really? And, you know, but they're really, if they're not really paying attention, they're like that proverbial frog in boiling water getting cooked. But this is happening before our eyes right now. And to your point, I mean, you know, being a student of faith and religion, you watch this and you see the dynamics that are in play here, and they are very consistent, aren't they?
They are. And, you know, this is not the first moral panic. This phenomenon, the larger phenomenon of the fallout from Harvey Weinstein, is what is known as a moral panic. Whenever society becomes very anxious about something and feels inadequate or guilt about something, they tend to find a scapegoat and project all their negative feelings on that scapegoat.
Right.
And, you know, we've had many in the past. We've had, you know, the most obvious one was the Salem witch hunt, but we've had the McCarthy episode. Mm-hmm. We've had the moral panic over what was then called recovered memory syndrome, which is now called false memory syndrome. Mm-hmm. So society goes through these convulsions every once in a while, and they're extremely damaging. They don't last forever because they come to just consume themselves, as it were.
Exactly.
But there's a lot of damage.
Yeah.
And it's going on right now in front of our eyes, and mm-hmm. many people just do not see it.
Well, and this is where, you know, the culture, and I've been saying this for quite a while, Dr. Nathanson, that we are in need of a North Star, a voice of morality that can break through all this stuff, because the very thing, I mean, there's no doubt that they are looking, as you say, they're looking for answers, saying, wait, what happened here? You know, if the hashtag Me Too should have any relevance, it should be the hashtag Me Too. I'm as guilty as anybody else because I either turned a blind eye. I chose to ignore it for my own personal advancement, or it wasn't bothering me. So why should I be concerned about it? So now we look for a scapegoat to put all the problems on instead of saying, hey, look, it. I am part of the problem here. And, you know, and because of your religious foundation is mine as well, is I say, look at why can't we gravitate? The opportunity here is to gravitate toward a moral higher ground that really is going to deliver on the goods. And that is a revival that would take place. We could only hope for, because that we've reached to the point of such debasement that we are going to, you know, turn from our wicked ways.
Well,
or is that too idealistic?
It is idealistic. I don't know if it's too idealistic, but it certainly calls for a great effort from people who often confuse justice with revenge.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of what's going on is about a need or a desire for revenge, but justice is different. Justice doesn't depend on getting even. It's about reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any possibility of reconciliation emerging out of the current moral panic.
Yeah. If we're not going to accept responsibility for the condition, and we all want to dress in black and be part of a hashtag Me Too movement that really, as you say, distorts the real problem, you know, we're fooling ourselves. And so what happens to that road that is mostly traveled? What's the end chapter to that?
Well, you know, you can look at history at what happens in these things. I mean, the French Revolution broke out because there was a desperate disparity between the haves and have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
But that, within a very short time, that devolved into the Reign of Terror. And people were lopping off each other's heads. And that finally came to an end, but only when a dictator emerged, namely Napoleon.
Mm-hmm.
So history doesn't really offer us a lot of good cheer. I mean, sometimes we pull out of these things and sometimes we don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, historically, there have been revivals that have taken place where people finally realize that the problem is bigger than they can handle. And I think of what's happening, you know, with Harvey Weinstein and all this sexual revolution that has been taking place, is that have we had enough? Are we like that person, that swimmer out there in the ocean who is drowning? Is there enough fight out of us that we can possibly be truly rescued?
Well, that remains to be seen. You know, there are those who would argue that our society no longer has a moral center.
Mm.
I'm not sure that's true. There certainly are communities that have a moral center, but I'm not at all certain. I'm not optimistic, I must tell you.
Well, I'm with you on that in terms of an overriding voice. I think there's pockets of communities, as you say, that exist, but we could only hope that it would ignite into a bonfire that would go from coast to coast. Stay with us. We've got
it's
more coming
brainer.
Up.
A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did.
Hmm.
We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Hmm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Reminding us of what makes our country great.
They'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Back with you, America, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Dr. Paul Nathanson continues with us, an intersexual dialogue academic. He says he doesn't necessarily like that term, and I can appreciate that. He, along with Catherine Young, have defined the field of misandry in our culture. I want to get into a little bit more depth, if we could, on that, Paul, because this is really a dangerous offshoot, or maybe just a natural development of feminism in this country, is the men haters that are growing, the contempt for men in popular culture, and when you invalidate any of the sexes, the culture, everybody, I mean, it's a lose-lose proposition.
Yes. Well, I want to identify this problem of misandry with the group of feminists that I call ideological feminists, not egalitarian feminists.
Mm-hmm.
Ideological feminism is like any other ideology, and it's a worldview that is polarized between us and them.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the problem, and feminists certainly didn't invent that. That's got a long history.
Mm-hmm.
But it happens to be the form that is currently prevalent in the United States.
And as we know, there's nothing new under the sun, so this is going through its typical cycle. So what is the next step?
Well, I'm tempted to answer that by saying that the next step is, the second coming.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give you a more serious answer.
We can only hope that would be the case, Paul.
Yeah. Well, Catherine Young and I have developed this notion of intersexual dialogue. And dialogue is not just a synonym, a fancy word for conversation or even debate.
Mm-hmm.
Debate, as you know, is about two people or two groups in which one wins over the other.
Mm-hmm.
Dialogue is not like that. It's really based on the idea of empathy. It cultivates empathy for the other. And the two voices must remain. One doesn't triumph over the other.
Exactly.
So if we can cultivate that, then that is a way out of this conflict. And it could be applied to any groups in conflict, not just men and women.
Right. Well, as you say, if you're debating and you're winning at another's expense, how is that of any value? I mean, what do you get to walk away with the blue ribbon or something?
It can be a value. For example, that's the way the court system works. It's an adversarial system. It can work even in the academic world because you have to establish truth at some level. But if your goal is not just to establish facts, but to promote healing or reconciliation, then debate is not going to be the most effective method. You need something other than that.
Well, and I like your approach, as you say, to have a dialogue to where the other's interest is, you're on equal plane and
that's
standing,
right.
And that at the end of the exchange, both are enriched for the conversation, right?
That's exactly it. I mean, in terms of the current conflict between men and women, I mean, I certainly agree that women have problems that need attention.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that women need to know that men also have problems
yes.
that need attention.
Right. Yeah, it is an equal opportunity deal. So how do we get to that point that, you know, have that conversation, Paul? Because, we've got a lot of things pulling at us. You know, you and I being men of faith, we go, I look to the Word of God for the counsel of God, what God says and how it should work. But it's tough, as we know, when you pursue a life of faith and belief in God and His Word, you've got the culture to contend with that at every turn is reminding you of another road more traveled.
Yes. To tell you the truth, I don't know the answer to your question. I don't know how to get from here to there.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is that the way we're going, men and women just lashing out at each other, one group silencing the other.
Mm-hmm.
This is not gonna take us anywhere.
That's a crazy dance.
I read an editorial in the Huffington Post the other day, and the author says that she doesn't know. She has trouble knowing how she can love her own son. Her own son being male, and therefore really beyond her understanding or beyond her love.
Mm.
Now that's a pretty damning statement for anybody
exactly.
to make. But that's part of mainstream culture. The Huffington Post is not distributed to academics. It's not limited to any social class. It's mainstream, and we have that kind of thing being written.
It's one thing to think that, another thing to speak it, and then for it to just go out there. And this is the problem that I see us having time and again, is there's no counter voice to say, are you crazy? What qualifies something when it's said that it is so insane that you call it to question so that it stops people from, you know, it's one thing to have the thought, but let's process the thought before you speak it out. And then worse yet, it gives validation in the culture and all of a sudden now becomes a rallying cry.
Well, look, there are people who are speaking out against what's going on. And in fact, some of them are women. And there are also men who are, you know, Matt Damon got up on one talk show and said that he thought we ought to make a distinction between the various offenses that are all lumped together under sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. Some of them, he said, are more serious than others. Well, he got his comeuppance for saying what is to me obvious and common sense. People are trying to have him rejected from one of his jobs. So there's always a risk. If you say things that are not politically correct, there's a price to pay. And we have to pay it. Look, Catherine and I have been politically incorrect for 30 years. and we both know that there's a price to pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a certain, you know, you're exactly right. There are people that have more to lose than others. As I said early on, I have been looking, and as much as I can add to the proposition, have tried to be a voice and have offered a platform for voices who can come in and get us to that position, you know, to where we could achieve our higher selves. Getting into this emotional fight. And I think that, you know, we're fighting against things that just are antithetical to godly principles. It's no wonder that we continue to just cycle back into this insanity time and again.
Well, it's discouraging, but let me tell you, as a veteran of this war, we got to stay in there.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stay in there. We can't just hide and retreat into our own cozy corner. We've got to be out there.
Well, Paul, I think, you know, and you're exactly right. I think of our kids and our grandkids, the male types, even the females. I mean, what are they going to do? We're so confused right now. I mean, you got California has declared, God did not say that, you know, he created man and woman distinctly. They've now come up with a third option signed by the governor there. So I guess they figured that God had it wrong and they have a better way. And I was surprised that Governor Brown stopped at three because the universities there.
Why stop at three?
Yeah. I mean, the universities, I think, offer as many as I think last count, something like 26 different sexual offerings. I mean, this is a crazy world that we're in right now, Paul.
Yes, it is. I can't. I wish I could say something very wise right now, but the only thing I can say is that we have to just keep trying.
Well, the thing I'm encouraged with is that we do have the truth on our side, and it's not relative. It is absolute truth, and that's what I choose to hold on. And that's what encourages me to continue to fight the good fight. And that's what you're saying and what you said earlier. I agree with that. And I appreciate that we're in this fight together. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Paul Nathanson on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Medicare rules are confusing. They should be. There are over 130,000 pages of regulations. There's Part A through D, Medicare Advantage, and Medigap. According to the CMS, there are government programs available that can help you pay for your medical expenses. Choosing the right Medicare plan is a really big deal. The wrong choice can cost you a lot of money, and the right choice can put more money in your pocket. Call one of our licensed representatives today. At 65 plus Medicare, our free service can show you a plan that will maximize your Medicare benefits benefits, ensure you are taking advantage of all available government assistance programs and save you money. Plus, call right now and get a free report on how to avoid costly Medicare mistakes. Call now.
855-301-5506. 855-301-5506. 855-301-5506. That's 855-301-5506.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Every single day, promoting truth. Bill Martinez, live.
Help me.
Bill Martinez, live.
It's the way you like me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, and independent. I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, you go to BillMartinezLive.com. You know, the one thing about the truth that I found a bit of an exception, a couple exceptions, what Oprah Winfrey said the other day in encouraging the women to pursue their truth. It is not, you know, the truth is the truth. You know, you can't bifurcate the truth because then it becomes relative. And then at that point, you're out of the realm of the factual and it just becomes opinionated at that point. And it's whoever has the loudest voice or the last one to speak at that point in time. So, you know, that's a misdirection, sadly to say, and a tribute to somebody who has a lot of influence, and I would hope that she would encourage women and men in the United States of America, all our citizens, to pursue the truth no matter where it leads. To this end, our next guest is a retired corporate and tax attorney living in Nashville, and whoever thought that there isn't life after being a retired corporate and tax attorney, well, you ought to hear the story of Philip Jett, who is a writer. He's been a kind of a ghost writer for many years, but now you've come out of the shadows, Philip, huh?
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, I have. It's been a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we want to talk about your latest book, "The Death of an Heir: Adolf Coors III and the Murder That Rocked an American Brewing Dynasty." You know, Philip, we appreciate you coming on. Let's break it down. Let's give our audience the background here to the book.
Yeah, you know, it's really my debut book, and I was looking for a subject, and I was out in Colorado. I tend to go out there a lot. I love Colorado. And I was at the brewery there taking a tour. I don't know if you've ever done the Coors tour there. And you get some free beer at the end.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's a good, you know, it's a good thing. You go in, you go out, you go back in if you want. But, you know, I was there and I was looking for a subject for my book. And, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of odd sometimes, but I noticed they have an exit there with a hallway, and they had all these photographs from years of Coors Brewery all the way back to the 1870s.
Incredible history, huh?
You know, it's a great company, and it's a great company, and it's, you know, it's one of those that, you know, the founder came from Germany with nothing, and he moves to Chicago, I believe, and then he moves out west and starts a brewery from nothing, and it, you know, now I think it's ranked number 3 in the world. So it's an amazing corporate story. But I'm going along and I'm looking at all these photographs, and I notice, you know, I get to the family and I notice at some point one of the sons just disappears, and my curiosity was piqued, and I'm thinking, well, he either became a black sheep or something happened to him. So I went back to my hotel there in Golden and Googled the family and noticed the story. And so I thought, this is a great story. And I immediately went to Amazon to see if anyone had written about it, and no one had. And that amazed me that this is such a, you know, important family in our country and with a lot of history. And this is such a tragic event that no one had written about it. So that's how I got started.
Yeah, very little is heard and understood about Adolf Coors. When I first read about your book, I go, "Wow, how did we miss this?"
Yeah, exactly. That's you know, and because I immediately saw a lot of potential here, and you know, it was an old story. That was one of the problems, and with my research was it was you know, it was over 50 years old, almost 60 year old story. And but luckily I got in, you know, in time to interview some people that were there, and they were in their 80s. Most have passed now, unfortunately, just within a matter of 5 years. And I got a lot of interviews in, I did a lot of research, and I uncovered a lot of things that had been either lost or destroyed. And so, you know, I got a mountain of information, and it's funny, I got so much information that the Denver Public Library asked me to donate it to them when I was finished. So I still owe them that. I'll have to take a U-Haul, I think, out to Denver and deliver all this
stuff. God forbid they would send a U-Haul for you at their right? That's the one thing about some of these.
Donated, you know.
Yeah, there's something about these institutions. You know, somehow we have to be beholden to them, which is interesting. So did the family welcome your inquiry?
No, they, you know, the Coors family, if you know anything about the Coors, they've always been a very private family. And frankly, they've taken a lot of hits through the years, you know, from their stances on unions and their stances, you know, Adolf Coors III, the gentleman that was kidnapped and murdered, his brother, one of his brothers is Joe Coors, who, you know, was instrumental in starting the Heritage Foundation. So, you know, they've taken a lot of hits through the years, and they don't tend to give interviews. But I did reach out to the children. There's three children still alive. And I reached out to Bill Coors, who, last I checked, he's also a brother. He was, I think he's about 101 now. I think Bill may be 101. Yeah.
Still alive.
He's still alive. You know, that mountain air. And
yeah, I was going to say, that Coors beer, that'll keep you going here, right?
Y'all should start drinking Coors beer, apparently.
Exactly.
I'll do my part. But so I reached out to them. And Pete Coors, who, you know, is pretty visible in the company, I think he's last I checked, he's president, and he's, you know, the gentleman you've seen doing the Coors commercials.
Exactly. And he was doing some political commercials there for a while, too.
Yeah. He responded and was very gracious and said, you know, thank you and good luck. But, you know, we've been, he more or less said, we've been burned a lot and we prefer not to give interviews. So they did not. I've heard from one after I wrote the book, but no, they were not participating in the book. But, you know, there were plenty of people who were, and, you know, I interviewed someone who had worked with Ed Coors for years in the company as well as many other people. And so I got a lot of information that way.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about Adolf Coors III.
You know, he's a tragic figure. You know, it was funny when you start working on these books, you don't know whether you like them or you don't like them. And I ended up liking Ed Coors III, and he was the elder son of Adolf Coors Jr., who was the elder son of Adolf Coors. So right. Ed Coors III was the eldest grandson and namesake of the founder. And, you know, well-educated, went to Cornell and got his engineering degree. I mean, chemical engineering mm-hmm. degree, and came back, as most of Coors children did, and was, you know, placed at the corporate level and was not really that enthused about being a CEO, of course. You know, he wanted to step in and do his duty, but he was, at his heart, he was a rancher, and he preferred being out on the ranch with his quarter horses and his cattle. But he did his duty, and the most interesting thing I found about Ed Coors III was that he was allergic to beer. So he couldn't even taste. He couldn't taste it. So he was there strictly from a corporate standpoint. His brother Bill was more the taster, did a lot of brewing, but he could not taste it. And the other thing was, he had a bit of a stutter, so he was not out in the forefront a lot.
Exactly.
Like today you would be because of the stutter.
Right. Well, Phil, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Phil Jett talking Adolf Coors III, his murder, and the mystery that abounds.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
We don't see color here. We just love America. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Our conversation with Philip Jett continues. The author of the new book, The Death of an Heir, Adolf Coors III, and the Murder That Rocked an American Brewing Dynasty. No wonder, like many Americans, probably have not heard the story of Adolf Coors III. Maybe a slight overview, if that. The Coors family, as we've known historically, has been very private. Things have stayed pretty much within the family, and this is one of those stories that Philip, through his efforts, have been able to bring out to us and break it down and tell us about what happened with Adolf Coors III. So, Philip, how did Adolf Coors III and an escaped convict, Joseph Corbett, how did they come in contact?
You know, that's an interesting question because, you know, we just float along in life. And we don't know what's out there and what's going to happen. And Mr. Coors' situation, he did not know that there was this gentleman out there who had escaped from prison, California, come to Denver, and was looking for a quick buck. And so he, you know, he considered robbing banks. He considered a lot of things and before deciding on kidnapping. And, of course, if you're in Colorado, if you're going to kidnap someone, a Coors comes, you know, ready to mind. So that's how I got started. And this gentleman, although I guess he's not a gentleman, planned the kidnapping for about 2.5 years. I mean, he spent a long time planning this. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, what happened was Ad Coors lived on a ranch south of Denver, and the highway was a section of highway was closed for construction for about a month. So he had to take a detour down this desolate country one lane road. And so that's when the kidnapper planned the kidnapping and parked his car on a one lane bridge, pretended that it was had car trouble.
Broken down.
When he grabbed Ad Coors.
So he abducts Ad Coors at that point. Now, this happened, what, in 1960?
Yeah, it was February 9th, 1960. And, you know, way before technology and all these trackers and tracers, this was, you know, this was a kind of the Wild West still. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when kidnapping in the U.S., you could still get away with it.
Did the family know immediately it was a kidnap?
Yes. The Coors family, in fact, Ad Coors III's father had been, there had been two plots to kidnap him early in the 1930s, just after Charles Lindbergh's baby had been kidnapped. So the family was well aware that kidnapping was
always. They were targeted, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so when this happened, it was clear from his car was abandoned with the engine running, the doors open, and there was some blood at the scene. They knew that, something had happened that was, pretty awful. And the next day they received a ransom note, so they didn't have long to wonder.
So then enters J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI. What happens then?
Yeah, this was a time when we think of the FBI and J. Edgar Hoover, this was like the, kind of golden age. And he ran the FBI and he viewed this as, almost a personal issue with the FBI. And he received a call from Ad Coors III's father, mm-hmm. and, spoke directly with J. Edgar Hoover, which, I couldn't do. But, if you're a Coors, you could do that.
Exactly.
And received FBI director's assurances that he would be on the case personally, which he did. He made his top priority, and it was the largest manhunt and the most FBI agents assigned to a case since Lindbergh baby kidnapping. Mm-hmm.
So how long, how much time had taken place before they found the body of Ad Coors III?
Well, yeah, it was a kidnapping gone wrong, and the ransom note was received the next day, but then they never heard any follow-up, and the kidnapper more or less got cold feet and took off. Mm-hmm. And so the family and the FBI was left wondering what was going on, and so it was up to the FBI to figure it out, and they tracked the man and across the country and then up into Canada, and finally captured him about 9 months later in Canada. And the body, unfortunately, Mr. Coors was murdered during a struggle. The kidnapper did not intend to kill him. That was not part of his original plan, but there was a struggle, and he did kill Ed Coors. And he dumped his body on Pike's Peak at a garbage dump. And 7 months later, this was in February, so in September of that year, a young man was up at the garbage dump target practicing and ran across some clothes and some bones. And so the FBI came in and identified that as Ed Coors.
Mm-hmm. Did they find that he was murdered on that night of the kidnapping, because they found blood there? So that would seem to indicate.
Yeah,
that,
yeah, that's exactly what happened. It's a little bit, the kidnapping really was more of an attempted kidnapping, because, as you've always heard, never get into a car if you can help it. If they're trying to force you into a car, well, that's what Ed Coors did. But he was, Ed Coors was 44 at the time and in really good condition. He was first class snow skier. He was in great shape. And so he grabbed the gun and they battled on the bridge, and there was evidence to show that. And then he took off. From what the evidence pointed to, Ed Coors took off running for his car to get back in and take off. And the kidnapper shot him twice in the back. Mm. And he went down and died, fairly instantly, and was, taken from the bridge on into the car and then dumped. So, unfortunately, when he sent sent the ransom note, so he knew at the time that his, Mr. Coors was dead, but he went ahead and sent the ransom note, but then got cold feet and left.
Yeah. For the Coors family, what a heartbreak.
Oh, it was terrible. In fact, Mrs. Coors, and I kept that in mind. That was at the forefront of my mind as I wrote this book. I wanted the reader to feel what the family went through, and particularly Mrs. Coors, Ad Coors' wife. Mm-hmm. She was much in love with her husband, and they had a great life. They had four children at home at the time, and still at home. I think their ages ranged from 10 to 18 at that time. Mm-hmm. And this is a heartbreaker for her and the family. And, you know, Mrs. Coors never recovered. She never recovered from it.
That just has to be terrible now. So for Corbett, who was eventually captured in Canada, right? That's where they got him?
Yeah, he was captured. Joe Corbett was the perpetrator. He was captured in Vancouver. He'd done almost a complete loop. He was born in Seattle, so I think he was heading home. He was trying to catch a ship out of the port of Vancouver to escape to some island, but he didn't make it. And he was captured and convicted of first-degree murder. And at that time in Colorado, you could not...
there wasn't a death penalty.
Yeah, there was a death penalty, but in order to receive the death penalty, you had to either have an eyewitness or a confession, and there was neither. So he got life in prison, but actually was paroled after only 18 years. So he was out by the time he was 50.
He was paroled?
He was. You know, he was paroled. This was a time in Colorado when, in the 70s, when there was more talk about rehabilitation than retribution. And actually, he at 18 years in prison, which is interesting now, he was the longest serving prisoner in state prison then. And so they felt like, you know, this guy... killed somebody when he was 32, you know, he's good to go. He's been a great prisoner. But, of course, the Coors family fought it, as did the governor. So it took him about three tries, but he did. Amazingly, he got out. And he didn't have much of a life afterward. He drove a truck for the Salvation Army the rest of his life. But he did get out, which is amazing.
That's incredible. Oh, and today, the Coors family... of course, this brewing dynasty that continues, but like everyday Americans, we have our heartbreaks, and for them, and for his kids who still try to reconcile all this. This is very difficult.
Oh yeah, and that was another point of the book. You know, it doesn't matter how much wealth you have, or whatever. You know, at the end of the day, we're all humans, and we all have human issues, and unfortunately for them, their wealth attracted this problem, you know, and which, you know, my heart went out as I wrote the book. I felt so bad for the family, and I still do.
Yeah, I bet. Well, Philip Jett, great job on the book and bringing the story forth. This is one of those underreported stories, the death of an heir. Adolf Coors III and the murder that rocked an American brewing dynasty. Book available at all the usual places, correct? And where can they go for more information?
Yes. Well, thank you very much. It's been a great pleasure.
Well, thank you, Philip Jett, on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Water is the single most important